After Sunday, prepare to get annihilated as Liquor Express of Farmville and Chester's Beef Jerky Emporium proudly present
Mega Sunday Slate 5000
at the Bass Pro Shops Arena in downtown Wetumpka, featuring all your favorite NBA superstars:
Randy Boyd,
Mike Muscala,
Rakeem Christmas,
Doug McDermott, with special guest appearance by Mega Sunday Slate 4000 MVP
Thought Maker.
Don't miss the 6th annual You're Not Gonna Cash with That 315 Bullshit Cook-Off.
Tickets are just $5.
First 700 fans in the door get a free bottle of Spearmint Listerine. Tickets available online or at any Clayton Cigarettes and Ammo location in the greater Wetumpka area.
Sunday.
Be there.
Sunday. Hope you're having a great weekend so far. What a way to end the weekend with a massive NBA slate. I'm excited to break it down with you on this beautiful day. I, of course, am Josh Fernandez, your weekend host here of the Lineup Logic podcast, filling in for my buddy Sean Kane. I got to give a quick shout out to my friends DFS Spectre and DFS Kingsguard, Ryan and Scott. Those guys, man, I got to tell you, they really stepped up to the plate for me for the Friday episode recorded on Thursday night. Man, I was sick as hell this week. My whole house was sick, my wife, my kids, and then me, and I was pretty much immobile on Wednesday. It was bad. And then Thursday I woke up feeling real rough. And I was done. I was not prepared to record. Fell asleep at like 8 o'clock that night. And yeah, man, they really stepped up to the plate. So I really appreciate that. We got a nice team we're building here for Lineup Logic. You know, Sean, of course, is the godfather, and I'm proud to have, you know, been there from the start with him. And Scott and Ryan, man, they're amazing. They're truly team members, and we're trying to bring a good product out to everybody, whether it's the podcast or the cheat sheet or, you know, the Slack channels, you know, through Patreon. We are so appreciative of everybody's support. You know, I just want to check Patreon real quick and see where we're at right now. We got 43 patrons, you know, offering $10 a month of support to us. And of course, again, that gets you, you know, access to the awesome Slack community where everybody's talking DFS every day. Pretty much all day. And then, you know, the cheat sheet that we're getting a lot of nice feedback on. We're going to be rolling out that cheat sheet for baseball pretty soon. We just got to work out some kinks first. And, you know, the fact that you're supporting, I guess, for lack of a better term, a mom and pop daily fantasy community, you know, Sean and I, Inspector and Kingsguard, you know, we're not, you know, we're not members of Roto whatever or fantasy whatever, you know, we're just regular old fellas. Nothing special about us in regards to being part of the daily fantasy industry. So when you support us, you know, you're supporting some guys who, you know, have full-time jobs, have kids. You know, this is not our income. You know, this is our passion. We love to do this. So any support you can give is going to help us build this up more and, you know, reach more people. We're trying to, you know, start a website here, you know, start brainstorming some new offerings for our patrons. So I just got to say thank you to everybody who is, who's, you know, given us a chance. It's just so appreciated. Just want to give a quick shout out to a couple recent patrons, Jason, Donald, Bill, Jordan, Tim, Jamie, Brian, Chris. Those are the people who have signed up in the last 4 days. Man, you guys are just awesome. Thank you so much. You kick ass. We really appreciate it. So anyways, let's move on. Just want to bring something to everybody's attention. Not that this is like groundbreaking news. But process, routine, focus, they're key. And that comes into play for me this week. This was a crazy week. As I mentioned, I was sick. And then I had to stay home from work with the kids on Friday when the kids were sick and I was better and I had to take them to the doctor. And my wife didn't get home until late from work. And then my wife had to leave this weekend to go on a business trip. And she's still not back yet. And I'm, you know, recording this early Sunday morning. And I just got to tell you, like, process, routine, focus are key. I felt so out of sorts this week. Like, I felt like I haven't been able to fully research and commit myself this week with just the crazy circumstances. And I realized that I have a routine that I have really stuck to all season. And when that routine gets broken, you know, I tend to lose focus. And that really comes into play when you're trying to break down a slate. You know, last night was beautiful for me breaking down this Sunday slate. You know, I could focus when the kids were in bed and I had no distractions. But during the day and leading up to lineup block, you know, all week long, it's always been something. And, you know, I've been putting in subpar lineups. You know, now granted, you know, I'm going to be honest, I feel like I've gotten kind of lucky with a few of them, a couple 310s and a 320 the other night. But, you know, as you guys know, the last few days, man, like, that's not going to cut it. You know, the cash line is, like, insane. I mean, what was it last night for a three-game slate? Like, 325 in GPPs? Oh, my God. So the bottom line is you got to have your process, your routine, and your focus all, you know, working together to help you put your best foot forward. Because if you are just throwing something together under stress, you know, rushing, you know, without much of a process behind it, you're probably not going to do so well. You could luck out, you know, into something. You could obviously use a lineup provider or an optimizer, but, you know, if you're building these organically and you're really trying to break things down in an efficient manner, then you really have to have your process, your routine, and your focus all nailed down. So keep that in mind as we move forward into our fantasy year with baseball and then with football coming up soon. It's a little bit easier with those sports, but next NBA season, you know, you definitely want to think about how you can more efficiently and effectively plan for these slates. Keep things simple. You know, try not to be under stress. You know, make sure you first start with managing your bankroll and selecting the right contests, and then things will become a little bit easier because you won't have the stress of, oh my gosh, I don't want to lose all this money. What am I going to do? And, oh my gosh, am I in the right contest tonight? What am I going to do? Do I need to drop out of this one? Do I need to get into this one? What am I going to do? Have it planned out. Have a routine. Stick with it. Don't get so cute with everything that you do. Know what you're going to do and do it. Okay. Let's move on to another key idea, which is stacks can be your friend. In NBA, stacks can be your friend. If you don't have a ton of time to plan for a slate, but you want to get some ownership variation and you want to get some upside potential, stacks can be your friend. One way you can, you know, be really prepared to stack effectively, and if you don't know what stacking is, I mean, I'm sure we all know, but it's picking a game or a team and just loading up on the players in that game or from that team. So for example, if you really like, you know, like the Milwaukee Bucks one night, you use like three or four Bucks players. Or if you like the, you know, like yesterday, the Orlando Magic Brooklyn Nets game was nice, you know, stack the Nets and Magic. You know, you can do that and it works. You know, it's an effective strategy. I personally don't like stacking games, though. I like to stack teams. And I really like to stack the thin teams. The teams that, you know, have thin rotations, where I know that the starters are going to get a lot of run. So one team I've always liked to stack all year is Minnesota, the Minnesota Timberwolves. You know, I've known since the Bulls days that Tom Thibodeau, he has a tight starting rotation, you know, five guys, maybe one or two other guys, but that's it. You know, Karl Anthony Towns, Andrew Wiggins, Gorgui Dieng, and of course, Ricky Rubio, you know they're going to get 35 plus minutes. So I love stacking them in plus matchups. So know which teams that you can stack. You know, you can stack the Atlanta Hawks lately. You can stack the Phoenix Suns lately, although their legs, I think their young, inexperienced legs, their stamina is kind of running out here at the end of the line. You know, the Orlando Magic were very stackable the last couple days. If you know which teams to stack, you spend less time picking through all the players of the pool, of the player pool of the slate, and instead you focus on the teams themselves. So once you identify a few games that have very stackable players, just start spitballing some stacks with a stud, with like a mega stud or a grout player in an amazing spot. So for example, yesterday, you know, I loved the stack of the four Orlando Magic players, which are Elfrid Payton, Evan Fournier, Terrence Ross, and Aaron Gordon with Karl Anthony Towns, and then also the Phoenix Suns. Now, it didn't work out perfectly. It didn't work out perfectly, okay? I get it. But the logic was there. There's a tight rotation in Orlando. There's a tight rotation in Phoenix, and then I can fit Towns in there, okay? So that's kind of the idea. Don't be afraid to do it. Often it works out well enough to get you over 300. It may not be a GPP winner, but it's doable in minis, you know, like the mini swats of like 294 players, I think. 100-man leagues, multipliers. And hey, you never know. It could work. It could win you a GPP. I mean, especially if the teams go to overtime, there's another 5 to 10% production increase, assuming your guys haven't fouled out or, or maybe like the bench is getting more run or whatever. But yeah, definitely consider stacking. If you don't have enough time to really break down the entire slate, consider stacking teams in good situations. Look at injuries, look at the Vegas lines, and go stack them up, put them with a stud, you know, at some other position on another team. And even it's possible to enter like the three max $1 GPP. You get three entries and just do three stacks and see where it takes you. All right, let's go ahead and dive into this slate. Enough of the advice. I hope you appreciate a little bit of advice. Hope it's a little actionable. I know that we're winding down here at the end of the season, but just keep it in mind. So let's dive into this slate, and we're going to do things a little differently today. This slate is a doozy. Just a mega, massive, huge Sunday slate. Are we ready for baseball yet? Maybe. Not quite yet for me. If you ask me, not quite yet. We still have some crazy huge slates like these in NBA, and things are getting crazy down the stretch. So if you want to cash, you got to stay calm. You got to stay focused. You can't freak out, man. All right? You got to just keep your head screwed on straight because things are cuckoo right now with players resting, teams tanking, you know, just crazy stuff going on. So we're going to go game by game. We're going to start with the earliest game, and we're going to end with the latest game. I'll give you the situation, or situation, depending on how you look at it. The Vegas lines, the injuries, the playoff implications, stackability, targets, DVP, all that jazz. So if you're taking notes, I'll be very clear with the players I like in these games. So let's just take it game by game. Get it? Got it? Okay, good. All right, let's go. All right, let's go ahead and kick things off with the Celtics at Knicks at 1 p.m. Okay, so this super early game is only available on the all-day slate. Playing this slate is super risky because you're locking into your lineup many hours ahead of any news for injuries, inactives, or changes in starters. It's really hard for me to imagine playing this slate other than maybe just a $1 dart throw. Honestly, there's so much that can happen on a massive slate like this, and to lock in at 1 o'clock and have, you know, a lot of games at 6 and a couple games at 8 and 9:30. I don't think it's very smart. That said, if you play your cards right, you can get some serious leverage on the field. No line as of now for this one. Looks like we're going to have to wait to see if the Knicks regulars will play as the team elected to rest them last time out. Likewise, it's possible the Celtics select to sit regulars, but I doubt it because a win here against the tanking Knicks and a possible Cavaliers loss to a potentially fired up Pacers team fighting for its playoffs life could vault Boston 1.5 games ahead of second place Cleveland. So I would not hesitate to use any active Celtics starters, to be honest with you. As far as known injuries and inactives as of now, we do know that Avery Bradley is going to be out with an illness. However, it's currently unknown as to whether or not we see Derrick Rose, Lance Thomas, and Carmelo Anthony suit up. If we're attacking Boston, we want to start by picking on them with forwards. Now, common sense says if Melo and Lance are out, start Kuzminskas, right? Well, not so fast. I think the primary beneficiary is Courtney Lee. In fact, I think if both are out, right, Melo and Lance are both out, you can expect at least 25 fantasy points from Courtney Lee. But if Rose is out too, I think he flirts with 35 as his usage skyrockets. Obviously, Porzingis benefits too. We can even look at Willie Hernan Gomez or Kyle O'Quinn as GPP options as well. Courtney Lee, he just goes overlooked a lot of the time, and he seems to really feast when those guys are out. When targeting the Knicks, we always start with centers as they get mutilated by them. Amir Johnson is extremely viable as a super cheap option with power forward eligibility, yet he's a real life five for Boston. We also like Jay Crowder and Al Horford here too. Physical players with some size, you know, Crowder and Horford, they tend to do well against the Knicks front court. Of course, ain't nothing wrong with firing up IT3. He is doing really well lately. He is definitely a viable play in this one. So have no fear for firing up Isaiah Thomas. Just be aware that if the Celtics do blow out the Knicks, you know, he could get his minutes drawn down. That said, he has played at least 33 minutes in his last six games. In fact, his last six games from recent to least recent, 36, 37, 35, 33, 33, 35 minutes. And as far as points go, 35, 32, 30, 34, 25, 25. So as far as cash games options at 8,500, you can't go wrong with IT3. I mean, you just can't, you know, so feel good about him. But my other favorite plays in this game are Courtney Lee and Amir Johnson. I just think that those two, as well as IT3, are going to have outstanding games. There's our super early game. I just tread lightly with that one. I mean, the game itself, you don't have to worry about because you'll get news ahead of lock at 1. But I'm saying tread lightly with that slate, that all-day slate. It could be a heartbreaker for some people who get a little too crazy. All right, moving on to the next game. At 3 o'clock, we have the Hornets at Thunder. In all actuality, this is a must-win game for both teams. Obviously, Charlotte, with a 6-game slate of games to go in the season, in the regular season, Charlotte's fighting for its life as the team sits 2 games behind the Bulls, Heat, and Pacers, who are all tied up for the 7-8-9 spots in the East. They obviously are still in it, mathematically, and they'll be heavily leaning on those starters. I mean, you know, Charlotte lately has been really leaning hard on its starters to get them through these final games, in which they are playing well. OKC, on the other hand, they're essentially locked into the playoffs, but they obviously want to bump LA for the 5 seed, as they do not want to see any of the top 3 teams in the West in a best-of-7 series to start off in the first round. So if they can get up to that 5 seed and play Utah, I think they would prefer that much over playing Houston, San Antonio, or Golden State. So, yeah, it's a huge game for both teams. Currently, it's a 214 over-under with the home Thunder favored by 5.5. Injury-wise, Taj Gibson is questionable for OKC with an illness. And Charlotte's backup point guards, Brian Roberts and Ramon Sessions, are both game-time decisions. So that spells more minutes for Kemba Walker. Not that they would really impinge on his minutes that much. We want to attack both teams with shooting guards, so Nick Batum and Victor Oladipo are both strong plays at nice salaries, too. I really like those salaries. We can also attack Charlotte at small forward. So that makes Andre Roberson a mediocre GPP flyer due to this. I mean, he's always, you know, got the potential for one of those 30-point random outings, a la the GOAT, Saul Hill. I don't know if this is going to be the game for him to go off like that. I think that's kind of done because they're giving Beastbrook his MVP stat padding. So don't expect Roberson to do much, but, you know, I mean, the logic is there. He could do something, you know, he's cheap. We only need 20 points for him to hit value, more or less. So, centers do pretty well against both teams. So both centers are viable punt plays, but like Roberson, they're only GPP viable. So we're talking about Steven Adams, Cody Zeller, and I guess Enes Kanter as the backup center as well. Though on the second unit, he gets massive usage and he can score you 30 fantasy points in 18 minutes. So he's got that potential. GPP viable. Each team's point guards stand out the most, though. Russ and Kemba will both see incredible usage, minutes, and production. It's hard to see them combined for any less than 100 points. Fantasy points, that is. Perhaps 110, maybe 120. I mean, if Kemba goes for 50 and Russ goes for 70, I mean, it's not crazy to say. But my favorite plays in this game are both the primary shooting guards in Batum and Oladipo, as well as Kemba. I mean, I prefer to fade Russ on massive slates. So if I am playing the all-day slate, which I won't be, then if I am playing it, I'm going to fade him. That said, if I'm playing the early only slate, he is definitely in play as we're now looking at just 4 games instead of 12. And the Russell Westbrook hammer on small slates is real, guys. 12-game slates, not so much. 10-game slates, not so much. You know, he's got to go for like 80 to really pay off on a massive slate like that. But on a 4-game slate, hell yeah. Charlotte seems like a great team to stack. Talking about team stacks, I liked the Charlotte team stack given their clear starters, the reasonable prices, and solid game circumstances. So note that for sure. Moving on to the next game, we got Jazz at Spurs. Tips off at 3:30 p.m. It's definitely not a must-win game for either team, as both are essentially locked in where they are, though Utah surely doesn't want to drop from that appealing 4 seed. There's not a line released as of now for this one either, which is kind of surprising, because I think that everyone that's going to be out is out. As far as injuries go, George Hill, Raul Neto, and Derek Favors will miss Sunday's contest for Utah. For San Antonio, LaMarcus Aldridge, Danny Green, Manu Ginobili are out for rest, and Deontay Murray will be missed with an injury. There is, of course, the chance others are scratched prior to tip-off, and since the game tips off 30 minutes after the early-only slate begins, 2.5 hours after the all-day slate begins, it's very risky to use starters on either team. That said, the Spurs announced LMA, Green, and Manu would be out for the game well over 24 hours ahead of time. So it's unlikely that we see more players announced for rest. I don't know. Just be careful. Be very careful. I do really like Shelvin Mack as a punt play for Utah. He should get 25 to 30 minutes and be far more effective with his minutes than Dante Exum, at least from a fantasy point per minute point of view. So at like 30, I think he's 3,600. I don't have it right up in front of me. I mean, he's under 4K. I mean, that's outstanding value for a point guard that should get up to 30 minutes of court time. I also like Kawhi and Rudy as GPP DVP leverage plays. Both are obviously elite talents and can overcome DVP, which, as we know, with Utah and San Antonio, they're good defensive teams. And, you know, I don't care. When it comes to an elite player, like, you know, Rudy and Kawhi can still put up 50 points against the opposing team. Cash is a risk, for sure. But in a GPP, they should be very lightly owned. And, you know, they could give you a huge bump if they blow up. On the whole, I'm fading this game. It just doesn't seem worth playing. There's just so many players in both rotations and too much production to be spread around. I just don't think that anyone's going to be worth your while. That said, again, I do like Shelvin Mack as a point guard salary punt. And the two studs in Kawhi and Gobert are viable GPP plays. Moving on to the next game. We've got Grizzlers
at Lakers.
We got the Grizzlies at Lakers at 3:30. Oh, man. This game could be pretty sneaky. Kind of like me saying Grizzlers sneaking up on you right there. You didn't expect that, did you? Grizzlies at Lakers. Sneaky game. It could be sneaky for GPPers. This could be a trap game for the Grizzlies, to be honest with you. The Lakers have young legs. They got nothing to lose. They got home court advantage. And they're going to likely be the ones dictating the pace. Then again, Memphis could also be pressing in this one as they're chasing OKC to avoid having to play San Antonio in round one. Though I wonder who Memphis would prefer in round one, San Antonio or Houston? Hard to say. Anyways, I just kind of see this as a trappy game for Memphis, which means it could quickly ignite if things go awry and, you know, LA could get hot early. So keep in mind that Marc Gasol, Jamichael Green, and Vince Carter will be out. So that gives the Lakers some advantage. We know where to attack the Lakers. Well, I mean, anywhere is fine, really, but we love to attack them with point guard and center. So this makes Mike Conley and Zach Randolph incredible plays in what we hope will be a close game. On the LA side, the plays are obvious. D'Angelo and Clarkson. However, for DVP purposes, Brandon Ingram looks like an incredible play if he can get his max minutes. Not too sure if he does. He's returning from a brief injury stint. But, you know, if he can get us 30, 32 minutes, I mean, you never know. He could continue his productive ways and maximize his opportunity with that DVP situation and return some serious value. I'm a little keen on Julius Randle, too. I just got to say, for the early only slate, a Conley, Randle, Ingram, Zebo stack seems mighty nice when paired with another four-player team stack, maybe with OKC, Charlotte, maybe Batum, MKG, maybe Kemba. I don't know, just spitballing here. I mean, that would leave enough money for you to then roster another shooting guard and center for an average salary of $8,150. Maybe Giannis and Pau Gasol, leave $700 on the table, differentiate a bit. I don't know, I'm just saying. But yeah. I love Zebo. I love Russell in this game. They're both very intriguing. Also love Mike Conley as well. So keep your eye on this game. I think this could surprise some people. Moving on to the next game, a 3:30 tip-off. Speaking of Giannis, here is our last game for the early only slate, and that's Dallas at Milwaukee. We've got a 197, yes, 197 over-under. Milwaukee's favored by 6 at the moment. Dallas is eliminated from playoff contention, so it's possible we see a mixture of players receiving an inordinate run. Then again, we might not. I can't say now with certainty. As for Milwaukee, they don't need to win. They probably will win. They should win. They're in the 5 seed, and they want to stay there. They're not going to make a run at the Wizards or Raptors in the 4, but could possibly, you know, drop lower if they don't finish strong. I mean, they absolutely could drop lower if they don't finish strong. So it's a pretty huge game for Milwaukee to win because it's at home and it's an entirely winnable one against a team that has no reason to win another game. Injury-wise, Seth Curry's out for Dallas, while Malcolm Brogdon and John Henson are both game-time decisions for the Bucks. DVP-wise, Milwaukee's been getting torn up by guards as of late. Dallas by shooting guards. So we're definitely going to look at Wes Matthews as a viable play in any format. We're avoiding Dallas point guards as it's just a hot mess. It's too risky to figure out which one. Devin Harris, Yogi Ferrell, JJ Barea, which one's going to give us the 20, 25, 30 FanDuel points? I don't know. It's hard to tell. I mean, Barea's, I think he is going to get the most run here at the end. That's just my gut telling me that, but I'm not going to risk it. As for Milwaukee, we want to look at Tony Snell as a viable punt play at small forward. He lines up as Milwaukee's shooting guard, and as we know, Dallas is susceptible to shooting guards. So let's feel good about rolling him out there in GPPs, even with his recent duds. Now that said, he could start seeing his playing time drawing down a bit as they are now getting a blank on his name all of a sudden, which is sad because he's from my hometown of Frederick, Maryland. It's going to come to me in a second here as I go to the team and find him on the roster, Michael Beasley. OMG. How could I forget the greatest of all time, Michael Beasley? From Frederick, Maryland, no less. Yeah. So anyways, where was I? Yeah, we can see Tony Snell's playing time drawn down a bit. If they try to get Beasley, you know, mixed back into the rotation at the 4, you know, and Johnny Henson, you know, could start suiting up more often at the 4. Thon Maker's getting more playing time as Greg Monroe is locked in as well. So we could see, you know, Tony Snell get bumped because they could move Middleton primarily down to the 2, Giannis at the 3, and then have their front court as a mixture of those aforementioned players. So I don't know. Like, Snell, you know, just keep him in mind for GPPs, for sure. Again, he had some duds lately. Keep those in mind. But, you know, you never know. You never know. Giannis, of course, always an option. Always an option. And he should start, well, I say should. I mean, he has been, but he really should start putting this team on his shoulders as the playoffs roll out. And as I mentioned before, Chris Middleton, we like him as well. Nerlens Noel, I also like, more for GPP. You know, Giannis probably for GPP too, just because of the price. But yeah, Nerlens, I don't know, like, is there any incentive to play Dirk heavy minutes with them basically out of the playoffs? I don't think so. You know, see what you got. Well, I mean, they know what they got, but, you know, give Nerlens a nice little run of things before the season wraps up, because he's going to be there next year, right? Wes Matthews, however, absolutely a cash-viable player for sure, with the minutes, locked into his role, getting decent usage lately with Seth Curry out. Really like him a lot. Really like him a lot. Moving on to the first game of the main slate, the first 6 p.m. kickoff. Kickoff. Tip-off. Tip-off. This is basketball, not football. Nuggets at Heat. Nuggets at Heat. Tipping off. First pitch is at 6 p.m. Puck drops at 6 p.m. Yeah, all right. So now we're talking. This is a must-win game for both teams. Miami and Denver, both on the cusp of missing the playoffs. Truly on the cusp. Every game now is a must-win for these teams. And it's awesome that these two non-conference foes square off in a game of these circumstances at this point in time. Vegas is putting the total at 219 with the home Heat favored by 4. This absolutely could be the game of the night, you know, with a mixture of, I mean, just, you know, Vegas circumstances, as well as just kind of flying under the radar with some other high-profile matchups later on. Could be the game of the night. Totally stackable, totally juicy. As far as injuries go, Deion Waiters continues to be out for Miami. For Denver, Jameer Nelson, Will Barton, Darrell Arthur, Mason Plumlee, all game-time decisions. Fantasy players should be crossing their fingers and toes that all four of those guys miss the game, as that would illuminate the targets on Denver very clearly, with little question marks remaining for who to pick. In other words, you could do, if those guys are out, feel really confident with a straight 4x4 stack. In other words, you could stack 4 Heat and 4 Nuggets, and you could do it in more ways than one. I mean, you could fade Jokic and stack 4x4 with 7,400 left over at shooting guard. Again, let me say that. You could fade Jokic, stack 4x4. That means 4 players for the Heat, 4 players for the Nuggets, and have $7,400 left at shooting guard. Yeah, figure it out yourself. I gave you the amount left over and the empty position. You can do it, all right? It's a little puzzle for you, a riddle, a brain teaser. You could fade Whiteside and have 6,200 left over with just center to fill. Yeah, again, figure it out yourself. The point is, I love this game. I'm 99% confident. Maybe 99.1%. percent confident. GPP winning lineups will feature at least one player from this game, perhaps one from each team. And who might they be? Well, let's just say I love Tyler Johnson. I love Goran Dragic. I love Hassan Whiteside. I love Nikola Jokic. And I love some Kenny Faried. I like Gary Harris. I like Joshy Richardson, and I like James Jones, Johnson, Jimison, Jamison, James Johnson, there it is, James Jones plays for the Cavs. I love James Johnson. No, wait, I like him. And I don't know what to make of Danilo Gallinari and Wilson Chandler. I really don't. They just frustrate the hell out of me. They just do. But one of them is going to have a good game. I feel it. Last time it was Gallinari. Wilson Chandler did nothing. This time, I don't know. It could be Wilson Chandler. But I think I'm 60% on Gallinari, 40% on Chandler if it's one-on-one. So, yeah. Keep an eye on Nuggets at Heat. Could be a barn burner. Moving on next to the Bulls at Pelicans. Are the Pels still in the playoff hunt? Probably not. No, but they are competing. They've won 2 straight games and 7 out of 10. So they're playing well. And the Bulls are in must-win territory. So what does that equal? Dot the I's, carry the 7. Competitive, hard-fought game. Exactly what we want to be targeting at this point in the season. Right now, the game is a 210 total, with New Orleans favored by 6.5. There's no injuries of note. This is absolutely a targetable game, and I really am infatuated with the idea of stacking Drew, Brow, and Boogie with Rondo, Jimmy, and Nico, but that only leaves me with 3,200 left per player. And that's not going to work. I need 3,500 left per player. Just can't do it. However, you could mix and match a little bit with those guys. Again, as Drew, Brown, Boogie, Rondo, Jimmy, and Nico. I think all those primary usage players for both teams are in play, and they'll all get 35 minutes plus. My favorite plays in this game, though, are Rondo, Jimmy, and Nico, and then just Brow. But shit, man, Boogie, he's just boogieing lately. Tough as hell to fade him. But I love the Bulls players, and I love Brow. I think Brow's going to go off today. He's got a really good chance to go off. He can get to 50 points with zero effort, and not that he himself puts in zero effort, but he just gets to 50 by default lately in this winning streak, that the stretch of winning that the Pelicans are on. Which, unfortunately for them, it does not seem to be culminating in a playoff berth. But, you know, they're playing hard. So, feel good about stacking your Bulls. And feel good about using Brow. And feel good about using Boogie, too. All right, let's move on to Hawks at Nets. Hawks at Nets, also 6 p.m. The Nets, of course, are eliminated. But are indeed playing some solid 500 basketball to close out the year. The Hawks have lost 8 of 10 and are plummeting in the standings, and their rotation is as thin as paper. This makes for a super, super juicy game. Very, very juicy. The Hawks will continue to press. I mean, you can be confident they're going to press, and they need a win. They need a win. And the Nets will continue to push the pace. So this game currently has no line. But it should easily finish in the 230 range. I feel confident in that. And it could be close for a good bit of the whole affair. I look at it to replicate yesterday's matchup between the Nets and the Magic. I just kind of feel like it's got that potential. Atlanta starters should receive max minutes, especially the likes of Schroeder and Howard. Those two should get 35 plus minutes. The minutes should be spread among many players for the Brooklyn side, but they're all so cheap, and that, you know, likelihood that they'll hit 5X is pretty high in this one. So I don't know. I'm not sure I'd game stack this one, but I'd definitely Atlanta stack for sure. In fact, an Atlanta Bull stack seems mighty nice now that I think about it. Kind of interesting to think about. Atlanta and Bull stack. Also, look for Rondae Hollis-Jefferson to bounce back a bit here. He had a brief correction last night versus Orlando. He was due to see himself correct a little bit because he's been outperforming his salary pretty much every night as of late. But my favorite plays here are Schroeder, Dwight, Brolo, a couple punts, maybe Spencer Dinwiddie and Sean Kilpatrick. But yeah, man, the Hawks, holy crap, I'm feeling good about the Hawks. They continue to give us some nice production here down the stretch with Millsap and Cephalosha out. Bazemore's back, but he's kind of working back into form. So yeah, man, feeling good about that. Pacers at Cavs at 6 as well. Two teams who need a win. They need a win, but for different reasons. Regardless, both need to win this game. They just do. That said, I think Indy is cooked. I think they're done. Cleveland should roll over them decisively. I feel like Cleveland is gonna pound them. Cleveland's currently favored by 9 with a 214.5 over under. They want to take back that one seed. And I think they do, and with authority. Neither team has any noteworthy injuries. I mean, Kyle Korver, is that noteworthy? I don't know. But there is one injury, ladies and gentlemen, and that's Paul George's morale. Paul George, he's just done with Indy. He's doing yeoman's work here to close out the year, but the team just can't win. I doubt that trend changes against the Cavs, against the world champs. I love Paulie George in this game. I really do. I love LeBron, too. Both are likely going to have huge games. Really like both point guards, Teague and Kyrie as well. Kevin Love is appealing for GPPs, you know, as is Tristan Thompson. You know, Miles Turner to a lesser degree because his salary is quite a bit higher than Tristan's is. I'm not sure I'm touching this game, though. I mean, I might roster Bron or PG-13 if it comes to it. I just think it's going to be a blowout. I think Cleveland's going to wipe the floor with them. It's not sure I want to put my money here when I have 11 billion other options to pick from. So, yeah, you heard it here first. First? I don't know. I doubt it. Cavs are going to dominate. They're going to dominate. Now, that said, in a dominating performance, somebody's got to score the points, and that somebody most likely is going to either be LeBron or Kyrie. My money's on LeBron. Sixers at Raptors, another 6 p.m. game, the final 6 p.m. game. Sixers at Raptors, nothing to lose Philly versus something to lose Toronto. 211 over-under, 11-point spread, you know who's favored. Maybe a mix for disaster for the Raptors, but I think they're battle-tested. They're experienced. They're a veteran team. They won't take Philly lightly, especially playing at home in a game that has seeding implications. Toronto can take a commanding lead on Washington for the third seed with a win here, and they surely know DC is playing a much tougher opponent today in Golden State. In Golden State, mind you, right? Raptors have the Sixers at home. Wizards take on Golden State on the road. I think Toronto's taking note of that. So you know Toronto's going to be up for this game. You know they're going to want to put the Sixers to bed early. With Robert Covington out now for 76ers, we got to love DeMar DeRozan to run wild in this one. It all starts with him. He's really the only player on the Toronto side you can truly feel safe about in cash. As for GPPs, I mean, you could definitely get away with using Ibaka at power forward, maybe PJ Tucker at small forward. But otherwise, you're probably reaching. You probably want to avoid Raptors players given the litany of choices elsewhere. Philly offers a lot more options than Toronto does. McConnell, Luolu, Stauskas, Justin Anderson, Dario Saric, Rashawn Holmes. I expect a large chunk of minutes from these six players, given the thinness of the rotation as the season winds down. You know, who do I love? I don't know. I don't love any of those six players. Toronto, you know, plays good team defense and drops the pace. But that said, even in a blowout, you're going to see them playing. You're going to see these guys playing. I feel good about Justin Anderson getting some nice run. I mean, I think they're all going to get 30-plus minutes, you know? So, I don't know, pick your poison. But man, DeMar. I think DeMar is going to go nutso. Love DeMar today. Love him. That's the last 6 p.m. game. We got two late hammers. Are they late hammers? I don't know if they're late hammers. The first one we've got here is Wizards at Warriors. The Wizards are taking on the Warriors at 8 p.m. Not sure what to make of this game. 223 over-under. Warriors favored by 10. This may appear to be a game the Warriors can take command of easily. The Wizards, however, are capable of doing three things well that the Warriors do greatly. Let's play defense, shoot threes, push the pace. The Wizards can do that. That said, the Wizards are not doing that lately. They're not playing great defense. They are a bit streaky with the threes. They definitely push the pace, that's for sure. It's impossible to tell which Wizards team we're going to get to show up today. The one that the Lakers were able to stick around with the entire game, or the one that handled the Cavs with relative ease from start to finish. If it's the latter, then it's possible this could be the game of the slate. If it's the former, it's still appealing. We just won't be able to, you know, put our flag in to any of these plays as, you know, certain absolute safe plays. Let me be clear there. If the game gets out of hand, I'm not saying that we're going to see starters under 30 minutes of court time. I mean, John Wall, Bradley Beal, you know, they get their minutes. Steph Curry, Draymond, Klay, they get their minutes, okay? But we want these guys, if we're going to pay up for them, to get us 36 minutes. We really do. So we want this game to stay close. Vegas says, you know, it could be a bit out of hand. Now, that 10-point spread doesn't mean that, you know, like, it doesn't mean that the Warriors are going to be up by 10 the whole game. I mean, it just means that Vegas wants to, they feel like they can get the most betting action on this game with the 10-point spread. And I got to check real quick. Pardon me. I got to check where the public is on this game. I haven't checked since I made this note a couple hours ago. But the public is, okay. Wow. Okay. So it's basically 50-50, 48% Wizards covering the spread, 52% Warriors covering the spread. So this is an interesting one. The public doesn't know which way to go with this 10-point spread. So what that tells me is I'm going to side with the people saying the Wizards will cover, and I think it's going to be closer than the spread indicates. So I really like this game. I really do. As far as individual players go, you obviously have to love both John Wall and Steph Curry. Sorry, Steph. Both should finish around 50 points. They should be very safe for cash. Klay Thompson and Bradley Beal are also very appealing. They both play huge minutes. They're both reliable for solid production and usage. That said, at shooting guard, there's so much value elsewhere, not to mention players with greater chance of 60-point upside. Like, I think DeMar DeRozan today has some 60-point upside, to be honest with you. I mean, you know, so it's kind of hard for me to feel great using either of those two players. I mean, they're obviously much cheaper than DeRozan, but, you know, I don't see Klay or Beal flirting with 60 guys, probably not even 50. Others like Draymond, Iggy, Otto Porter, maybe even Kelly Oubre, if he can get some nice run, assuming the Wizards play a smaller lineup. They can all produce in this one, too. I personally prefer Draymond above all, just given his price, safe minutes, upside potential, and the fact that power forwards and centers do well typically against Washington. So I feel really good about Draymond, feel good about Wall and Seth. Oh my God, I did it again. Steph. Seth is just easier for me to say. Seth. Steph. Seth. Steph. Feel good about both point guards and Dre. It should be a good game. I think it's going to be close. I really do. I think it's going to be closer than we think. Okay, and the final game of this mega slate, the 234 over-under Rockets-Suns game, in which Houston enters with a commanding 11.5-point road favorite spread. There's nothing to gain or lose in this game. Obviously, Phoenix is completely out of it, but they're still fantasy relevant given their pace, their huge minutes. Houston's locked in to the 3 seed. They're not going anywhere, neither up nor down. So the incentive to push hard in this one really isn't there. However, this is indeed a game for James Harden to go bonkers and increase his MVP chances. So I do foresee Harden to have his normal run. And why wouldn't he? I mean, he is playing the Suns. He should have an outstanding statistical performance in this cupcake matchup of massive pace, high over under. No one can guard him in this game. So why he wouldn't go for 70 in this one, I have no clue. Other than just wanting to rest him, which I don't know, if he's up for that and Mike D'Antoni is fine with him, getting max run. All the Houston regulars are in play, of course, too. Phoenix offers Devin Booker and TJ Warren for safety. They're definitely cash viable. They're reliable options. They receive huge minutes, huge usage. They're simply producing. I don't know how much of a late hammer this, or the Golden State Washington for that matter, too, will be given the spreads. I mean, it's possible both get out of hand early and we start seeing reserves, but it's definitely likely that these games will see starters receive over 30 minutes. And that's all we need from starters in these two games, since they're all efficient players and the up-tempo nature of these matchups will guarantee fantasy production will flow like water. That said, like we prefer 34, 36 minutes from these starters. So, in GPPs, I don't know how much I'm looking at these games from, big name guys. But in cash, for sure. For cash games, that you're going to be safe. That said, the cash line these days is like GPP-esque. I hope that things get back to normal to start next season, because this is hard for me to wrap my head around. I don't remember this. Correct me if I'm wrong. I don't remember this in the past. I mean, I've been playing DFS fantasy basketball, DFS NBA for, this is my fourth season. I don't remember it. Like regular cash lines in 50-50s at like 310, 315. It's crazy. So, expect another big one. Expect another slate with 320 cash line. Tread lightly. All right, it is time for us to build our lineup, our pod lineup. So without further ado, let's do it. Now, before we build our main line, I do want to say that I want to go back to what I mentioned earlier, and that's that Atlanta and Chicago stack. So let's see what we can do with this Atlanta and Chicago stack. If we go Schroeder and Rondo, and then we go Timmy Hardaway, and then at small forward we go Jimmy Butler. Let's see, Jimmy Butler, and then at power forward we go Nico Ersan. And then at center, we go with Dwight. So we're looking at 4 Hawks, 3 Bulls. Shooting guard, small forward remain. 6,300 left per player. So let me repeat that for you. You got from Atlanta, Schroeder, Hardaway, Ersan, and Dwight. And then you got Nico, Jimmy, and Rondo from Chicago. 6,300 left per player for your second shooting guard and your second small forward. I'll let you fill that blank in yourself, but I really like this. And I feel like you could, you know, get away with taking like either Hardaway or Ersan out. For my money, I'd rather take Hardaway out. That's just me. I prefer the rebound safety that Ersan gives me. You know, that said, I mean, Hardaway has been producing and getting a lot of minutes. So I kind of feel like I want to leave him in there. So yeah, you could fill in those two blanks on your own with a small forward and a shooting guard. But I really like that a lot. Really like that a lot. The other stack that you could do is one I mentioned earlier. And that is the Denver and Miami game. This one's a little trickier. You could go Goran, Tyler Johnson. You could go Gary Harris, Joshy Richardson. Then you could roll out both Chandler and Gallinari. And then you could go, Hassan Whiteside. And Kenny Faried, and you got 9K left over for a power forward. Now that's not very appealing because the most expensive power forward, is Davis and Jokic at 11-2 and 10. We don't have enough money for that. And then below that is Draymond at 7,400. Not really trying to leave 1,600 on the table. It's a little more than I would prefer to leave on the table on a slate this big. Maybe on a small, like two or three game slate, but not on a slate this big. So if we drop Faried and we throw Jokic in there, we got 4,100 left over. So we could throw in a power forward like an Amir Johnson at 4K. Kind of like this. Goran, Tyler Johnson, Josh Richardson, Hassan Whiteside, four Miami starters. Then Gary Harris, Wilson Chandler, Danilo Gallinari, Nikola Jokic. You know, three starters minus Chandler. And then Amir Johnson. You could, if you're feeling worried about Chandler, get rid of him, you know, leave Johnson in there and, you know, throw like TJ Warren in there, you know, or Chris Middleton. That's possible. You know, it's up to you, but I kind of like that as well. So that's another option for stacking. But let's talk about our main line. Let's build a main line, and then we'll wrap this baby up. So, first, why don't we start off with an all-day slate line? I feel like I want to start off with some Houston and Phoenix shares. I really like Eric Gordon, Lou Williams, and Trevor Ariza to get some nice production in this game. And they're so cheap. So I just feel like with the minutes and the fantasy potential in this one, I'm going to throw those three in there. Gordon, Williams, and Ariza. And then I also need to get some Phoenix shares, and TJ Warren seems the best bet, you know, for his price to get me some nice run, nice production as well. So I'll throw in TJ. Feeling really good about Zach Randolph as really like the only like, you know, viable big man on the Memphis roster. So we'll throw in Zach at power forward. Draymond at power forward for Golden State. I said it in the Golden State Washington segment that I feel really good about Dre. So I love him at 7,400. Boogie still under 10K, killing it lately. I'll put him in at center. I think he's going to continue to get run. Some serious run. And against Chicago, you know, it's a good matchup. And then up top, I just love Schroeder and Mike Conley. You know, Mike Conley, you know, he and Zach Randolph should just lead the Memphis attack in this one. And I feel great about him at point guard. And, you know, to wrap it up, Dennis Schroeder. I mean, he should get 35 minutes and have a great opportunity to, you know, get us over 40 points, just kind of like Elfrid Payton did yesterday against Brooklyn. So let me run through that again for the all-day slate. We got Mike Conley and Dennis Schroeder at point guard. We got Eric Gordon and Lou Williams at small forward, or excuse me, shooting guard. We have TJ Warren, Trevor Ariza at small forward, Draymond Green and Zach Randolph at power forward, and DeMarcus Cousins at center. Now, for our early-only slate, that's the four-game slate. Hornets and Thunder, Grizz and Lakers, Mavs and Bucks and Jazz and Spurs. I feel like I got to start with Russ. I got to have Russ in my line. I feel that on a massive slate, you know, you can avoid him, but on a smaller slate like this one, you know, you got to have him there. So Russ and Kemba Walker in that game stack battle of point guards. And then I want to continue with OKC and use Vic Oladipo. But I'm going to not go with the full game stack of guards and use Batum. I'm going to go to Mr. Tony Allen. Tony Allen, I think, has a good chance to get a little bit of usage bump and have some nice peripherals against the Lakers. Chris Middleton and Harrison Barnes are appealing to me at small forward. Zach Randolph and Marvin Williams at power forward, and Cody Zeller to round things out at center for me. So I'm going to run through that again. That's Russ Westbrook, Kemba Walker, Vic Oladipo, Tony Allen, Chris Middleton, Harrison Barnes, Marvin Williams, Zach Randolph, and Cody Zeller at center. And last but not least, we're going to finish it up with our main slate line. The main slate, as you guys know, has seven games kicking off, puck dropping, first pitch, tipping off at 6 p.m. So the main slate, you know, there's a whole bunch of different ways to go with this one. But I think that I want to start by the all day slate. I want to get some Houston and Phoenix shares. So I want to get Devin Booker and TJ Warren in there. I want to get Lou Williams and Trevor Ariza in there. I feel like that's a nice way to start it off. And then I want to get some Atlanta shares. So I'm going to get Ersan and Schroeder in there. And Draymond. I love Draymond on this slate. I love Boogie on this slate. I could drop down to Dwight, but I love Boogie. And Jeremy Lin at point guard. If I did drop down to Dwight, I would be a little heavy on Atlanta. That's okay. And I got 8K left over for point guard, so I could throw Goran in there. I kind of like that. I really do. I kind of like that. All right, let's go with this. So Goran Dragic, Dennis Schroeder at point guard, Devin Booker, Lou Williams at shooting guard, TJ Warren, Trevor Ariza at small forward, Draymond, Ersan at power forward, and Dwight Howard at center. And that's all she wrote, boys and girls. Hey, listen, thanks again for your listenership and your support with Lineup Logic as we continue to build this thing out. We really appreciate it. As always, you could find me on Twitter at Josh Fern. That's at JOSHFERN. You can find Sean on Twitter as well. Hey, Mr. Kane. That's at HEYMRKANE. And then, of course, you could find DFS Kingsguard and DFS Spectre as well. DFS SPECTRE. That's DFS Spectre. And DFS Kingsguard, spelled just like it is. Spectre's Ryan, and Kingsguard is Scott. Good guys. Okay, that's it. Thanks again. Love you guys. Mwah! Take care. Good luck today. Happy opening day as well. See you.